This is Everson Griffin, and you are listening to the Wobcast hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Winter Park with producer Nate Vaughn and with a special guest. It's voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, stepping in to join us. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Wobby.
We have a 2015 season in review, special edition of the Wobcast, and we thought there'd be nobody better than you to bring in here to go game by game through the 2015 season, a season that resulted in a division championship and a playoff appearance, a season that saw the Vikings go 11-5 with marked improvement under head coach Mike Zimmer in his second season. Are you ready to do this? Top of head, can you go game to game and give us your recollection of what happened?
I certainly hope so. You know, the I've said it on my radio show on The Fan, and I mean it. The 2015 season for me in my 14 years of calling Vikings football was the overall most enjoyable time I had doing the job. And, you know, I don't want to bore people and get into the particulars of how frequently I was at Winter Park, the relationships that are fostered. And 2009, I recognize, was a very memorable season. But the makeup of the team this year, with its youthful nature, the injuries that they had to overcome later in the season, Zimmer in his second year, my relationship with Norv Turner, it was just so memorable on so many different levels that really, as of right now, I still miss it.
And that's notable because Paul, you are not Johnny Come Lately when it comes to voxing the Vikings. Your first season was 2003?
2002. First regular season game was at Champaign, Illinois.
And it was really hot that game.
Yes.
I remember. Okay. So, so you've been around a long time. So saying it was perhaps your most enjoyable season, or in fact your most enjoyable season.
Loved it.
Is saying something.
Every minute of it.
Especially all the battles that you've been through along with the club. So it was a very enjoyable season, primarily because there were 11 wins. But coming out of training camp, so before we get to the first game, what do you remember feeling about the team coming out of training camp? And just to kind of refresh your memory, Stephon Diggs was impressing us.
Yep.
Adrian Peterson was back, but yep, he didn't play in the preseason, but he was back. You know, you felt good about your defense because of Mike Zimmer, but you weren't convinced yet because it was just one season. But, you know, coming out of training camp and the preseason, what do you remember?
Well, there came a time for me during the season where what I'm about to say didn't matter. But when we were in Mankato doing the radio shows from the exclusive Vikings radio network perch, after seeing Diggs in the offseason, Adrian, like you mentioned, knowing the improvement Zimmer got out of the team in his first year, the 7-win year, I hated the schedule. Just with the way the 5 preseason games laid out, then the Monday night game at Santa Clara, come back on a short week against a division team, Seattle later in the season, short week at Arizona, and just to make it fun, close it at Lambeau. I mean, I was a little more intimidated by the schedule than I think I had been in previous years, but there came a time during the 11-5 season where I knew this team was on the fast track to something good, where the schedule mattered none to me, and it didn't matter who we played or when we played them. I knew at the end of the equation the Vikings could beat any team anytime.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it turned out to be as the season went on. Breaking the schedule down into quarters, the Vikings went 2-2 in the first quarter and then 4-0 in the second quarter. Everyone kind of said they're going to have to make hay in the second quarter of the season, and they did. They went 4-0.
Yep.
Then they went 2-2 in the third quarter, and of course 3-1, closing with 3 straight wins in the fourth quarter. So that's how the schedule unfolded. Let's begin with the game in Santa Clara.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Santa Clara, California, for the 2015 Minnesota Vikings season opener. As the Jets fly over Levi Stadium, site of Super Bowl 50, and a massive flag is removed from the field that is Levi Stadium, we prepare for Minnesota Vikings football.
The Vikings open up with the final game of week one, the second half of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. And obviously Coach Zimmer was not pleased with how that game transpired. The Vikings lose 20-3 to the San Francisco 49ers. A team that had a new head coach in Jim Tomsula and a lot of new faces on defense because a lot of their veterans retired or left. And the one note I have from that game, and then I'll let you go, Paul, is Carlos Hyde, 168 yards and two touchdowns on 26 rushes. And that was the best game for him all season.
Well, I'm glad you led with Carlos Hyde, because after hearing the entire offseason, the defensive A topic was to stop the run, and to see that team run on the Vikings as explosively and powerfully as it did was as big an eye-opener as I had experienced in quite some time. Quite honestly, the loss to the 49ers was one of the most shocking developments with the way it played out that I can remember in my 14 years working with this team. I mean, I remember, I think it was 2010, New Orleans came here with Drew Brees, blew the team out. There was a game at the end of the 2006 season where St. Louis came here. The Vikings were listless that day. You know, but there were things that played into that up to that game. This was a situation where offensively they couldn't get out of their own way, and defensively they just never could stop what San Francisco was doing.
Yeah.
And it at the end of the equation, it truly for me was a game through which you draw a line like it never happened. Mm-hmm. Because it was so out of character to who the team ended up being. I can't believe it worked out the way it did, but it happened, and I knew they would win the next week.
Right. Now, so for all these games, I've gone game by game, and I've highlighted statistical notes positively for the Vikings in each game, okay? I'm going to show you this game, what I've highlighted that was positive statistically for the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, zero.
There's nothing on the sheet.
There was nothing.
So let's move on to game two.
Yeah, blocked the block kick early in the game.
28-yard try, left hash for the 17th year.
Oh, blocked!
It's blocked! It's blocked by the Vikings. Bill Dawson's kick was blocked. Here comes Marcus Sherrills to the Niners 40, to the 30, pushed out of bounds at the 25. Blocked field goal by the Vikings, and now Sherrills runs them deep into Niners territory.
With what Chad Greenway did to get a guy away from Andrew Sendejo's guy was a thing of beauty. You know, special teams are extremely well respected here, and Mike Prever does an awesome job, along with Ryan Ficken, with the overall special team situation. That was probably the most positive thing I remember from that game.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to some more positivity.
He walks up to it, and boom! The 2015 home opener's underway. Adrian Peterson heads onto the field, playing in his first game at TCF Bank Stadium. Teddy from under center, back to pass, flips it to Adrian, sprints out to the right with some room. Adrian's to the 30, he's to the 40, into Lions territory, looking for a block to the 30, and he walks out of bounds at the 22-yard line. On third and short, Bridgewater looked like he was sacked. Instead, he flipped it to Adrian Peterson. Peterson to the right of Bridgewater out of the shotgun. Second and goal from the 5. Teddy takes the snap. Fires to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Vikings. It's Kyle Rudolph with the Vikings' first touchdown this season and a quick 6-0 lead. Tight end Red Ellison outside of Shepard. Tightly packed eye. Fourth and goal. Bridgewater under center. Play action. Teddy rolls out to the left. Sprints into the end zone. Touchdown. Lead 13-0 with 14 and a half minutes to go in the first half. The Lions are pass predictable as Stafford is sacked by Everson Griffin as he floated out to the right. Everson now with 1.5 sacks this season. Stafford back to pass, whips it out left. Caught Lance Moore, fumbled, picked up Andrew Sendejo inside the 20, 15, 10, and he's out of bounds at the 6-yard line. Captain Munnerlyn forced the fumble, recovered by Andrew Sendejo, and unofficially first and goal Vikings. High formation, Adrian's the tailback. Snap, handoff to Zach Line, lunges for the end zone, touchdown. That's Zach Line's first National Football League touchdown, and it gives the Vikings a 23-10 lead.
And they laughed at me when I started Zach Line in my fantasy lineup this week, Paul.
You said you knew the Vikings would win in week two after what you saw in week one, just knowing that they would respond. And they did. They did in a big way. They beat the Lions 26-16 at home. Notable from this game, Adrian Peterson plays in front of a home Vikings crowd for the first time in 658 days.
Jeez. Coming home off the way things developed in San Francisco, knowing the personality type, the head coach possesses, then I knew it would be completely unacceptable to have anything below an A-minus performance against the Detroit Lions.
You know, after last week's loss, it felt like we were 0-10, not 0-1. And we had to really dig down deep and fight and practice and study. We had a lot of grouchy players last week, grouchy coaches. And I thought we, you know, we answered the bell today.
I was not bullish on the Lions into the season. On my radio show, when I laid out who I thought would win the division and why, I put, I think, the Lions in third or fourth. And I felt there were some situations with the Lions into the season that would not be conducive to beating the Vikings. I felt the Vikings would sweep the Lions during the course of the season, which they did. And given the impact of having Adrian Peterson back on the team in that stadium with the crowd, and Zimmer in his second home opener, I felt very good the Vikings would win, and they did.
They did. 26-16, they go to 1-1. Week three.
Against the 1-1 San Diego Chargers, the Vikings into it, 1-1-1. And those here at TCF Bank Stadium come to their feet. Second and goal from the two. Hand off Adrian. Up the middle, to the goal line, to the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Vikings! And that's Adrian Peterson's first touchdown since November 24th of 2013 at Lambeau Field. It's the 92nd touchdown of his illustrious career, and the Vikings lead 9-0. Gets the snap, steps up in the pocket, gets away from the pressure. Ball's hit! It's a fumble! Phillip Rivers was hit, and he was hit by Anthony Barr. Ball popped out.
That's just a brilliant...
Still waiting.
Hey, Vikings ball!
Vikings ball deep in Charger territory. Way to go, Anthony Barr! Rivers back to pass. Rivers steps up, pumps, hit, and sack. Phillip just hoists the white flag. Everson Griffin, Sharique Floyd, several in on the sack. Floyd will be credited with the sack. That's the Vikings' fourth today. Hand off Adrian Peterson. He gets out to the right side. Stiff arms a Charger at the 40. Adrian's to the 30. Heads to the left of the 20. Shakes the tackle. And it moves! Inside the 5.
Vikings win that game as well. I'm not going to give you this one. I'm going to see if you can come up with the same memory I have from that game. The San Diego Chargers game at home that we won. What's the one big memory you have from that game?
Probably one of the top 10 memories from all the games I've called. The Chad Greenway pick six.
Yep.
It's third and 10 from the Vikings 14. Two receivers left and right. Rivers shotgun. Vikings rush four. Phillip dump over the middle. Ball's batted in the air. Intercepted Chad Greenway. And the veteran turns it up at the 20. To the 30. To the 40. Far side. Greenway is loose. Chad Greenway with a 91-yard touchdown!
Yeah, it was pretty amazing just to see all my teammates in the sidelines. Must be doing something right, so it was pretty awesome. Tip ball, and my grandfather, I've been here 10 years, played now at Iowa for 4, and this is his first professional game he's ever seen me play. He was in the stands today, and you just gotta think my dad tipped the ball up. That's all I can put together, so.
A bunch of guys that were in that convoy said they did it because it was you. Do you get a sense of respect that you have in it for guys to do that?
Well, I'm guessing they probably would have done it for anybody, but obviously for them saying that means a lot. Obviously you guys, have known me for my entire career and try to do things the right way. And this situation, obviously, it's been a little different this year than it has been in the past. It just, when it's time for me to go on the field and play, that's what I'm doing. And I'm trying to play my role. And I think that's just a perfect indication of just preparation and, getting ready to, just preparing yourself to play all week and hoping that a play's going to come your way. And obviously it did, so just took advantage of it.
Greenway going the distance, running in front of the bench. Defensive backs coach Jerry Gray so excited he runs into the head coach. The head coach is toppled. And fortunately, there was no injury, and I know Mike wasn't super happy about it, but he was able to laugh about it after. And then at the end of the play, former Viking Gerald Hodges hitting a member, accidentally running into a member of the security team, doing his job, looking up into the stands, and then watching how that whole thing developed. Given Chad is absolutely one of my all-time favorite Vikings in my 14 years with the team, I felt super good for him, and it kind of jump-started a part of the game where the Vikings grabbed all the momentum, and we no longer had to worry about Keenan Allen.
Yeah, and a great moment for Chad, a season in which, you know, he really did a good job filling in for Anthony Barr and for Eric Kendricks, showing his value there. Yes. You know, we used to rely on him to be the 100-plus tackle guy every season. That's no longer his role, but he still played a very valuable role for the Vikings in this past season. In that game, Adrian Peterson had a really cool 43-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
And that gave him 93 total touchdowns, which tied him with Randy Moss for second in club history behind only Chris Carter. I thought that was cool.
And that also was a game where Teddy Bridgewater threw at least a couple of interceptions. I think he finished with two. And they were not good passes. So, I mean, you know, off the San Francisco game and all of the hope that we had sold all offseason about Teddy, it was interesting to note that the team found a way to get to 1-1 despite the quarterback still, you just knew the quarterback had better that he was going to show eventually.
Yeah. Week four.
The home team, the Broncos, won the opening toss and elected to defer. So the Vikings offense will get a crack at the NFL's number one defense right out of the gate. And Bridgewater takes the snap. He steps up and he throws it as he's hit. Caught, Diggs! First down at the 22. Way to go, Teddy! And the rookie from Maryland brought it in for a 26-yard gain. Payton takes the snap on third down, back to pass. He's sacked at the 2-yard line. And Eric Kendricks has his first NFL sack. He got in there like a shot. And Peyton Manning hoisted the white flag. Manning shotgun. Back to pass. Intercepted by the Minnesota Vikings. And it's Anthony Barr to the far side of the 40, to the 30. And he stopped at the 27-yard line. Anthony Barr with a big turnover with 23 seconds to go in the first half. How about that? Bridgewater back to pass. Loops it left. Wallace is open. Touchdown, Vikings! Mike Wallace's first touchdown wearing the purple and gold. Fires it over the middle. Intercepted, Harrison Smith. The hitman picked off Peyton Manning. They've intercepted him twice today. And the Vikings have turned over football immortality. Bridgewater under center gives it to Adrian.
Oh, there he goes!
Through the middle to the 30. And he moves to the 10. 5. Touchdown! A Vikings touchdown on fourth down. It's a 47-yard touchdown for the best back in the game. And we're right back in it, trailing 20-16.
So the Vikings are 2-1, and they go to the Mile High City and play the Denver Broncos, a team obviously now we know that has advanced to the Super Bowl. And I guess we shouldn't be that surprised because we came away from that game impressed with Denver, but also impressed with how our Vikings played. We lost a close game to the Denver Broncos on the road.
Well, with that game, and you can attest to this because you and I not only talk in text more than people know, but we talk out all angles of every game every single week. And this was not the hashtag faith guy in me, but to anybody who would listen to me off the microphone, I didn't get loud about it on the fan or in the Xfinity studios at the Vikings Entertainment Network, but everybody who knows me knows I truly felt the Vikings were going to win. And it wasn't like I wanted them to win. I had watched back Denver very closely. And the way the Vikings were playing off their previous two wins, I just knew they were sitting on a super big effort. Mm-hmm. And I went there fully expecting the Vikings to win the game despite being rather significant underdogs. And after watching the way the game developed, I'm still surprised they didn't win the game. And I know Denver's in the Super Bowl. Denver might win the Super Bowl. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, T.J. Ward, Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, that I knew what the team was up against, but I think that was kind of one of several turning points for the team in the season where it showed it could go into an unbelievably hostile environment and play with football immortality and have it come right down to the wire. Now, you know, given you sit next to me during all the Vikings broadcasts, mm-hmm. Invesco at Mile High is an adrenaline rush for everybody involved.
Yes.
The broadcasting vantage point is right in front of the fans. And I'll never forget, the game was so exciting. We had so many Vikings fans running up to our booth, yelling Wobby PA and giving us high fives.
Yep.
And Josh Duhamel of Transformers, and actor Josh Duhamel was at the game.
Yep.
He came into the booth. He was super excited. There were just the white horse before the game. There were so many memorable things from that game. Obviously, the strip sack at the end is the one that probably left the most lasting memory. But nevertheless, great day, great game. Still a game I feel the Vikings should have won.
Yeah, a couple of notes from that game. The Von Miller recovery of a TJ Ward strip sack, that was one of seven sacks that we allowed wow. in that game.
Yeah.
You know, and Denver did that to teams all year long.
Yep.
We saw Stephon Diggs kind of emerge in that game.
No doubt.
That was kind of the birth, if you will, of Stephon Diggs as a Viking. Eric Kendricks.
He was inactive the first three games.
Right.
So they made him active and it worked.
Yes. Eric Kendricks got his first sack. That was Mike Wallace's first touchdown as a Viking as well. So kind of we lost a game, but kind of a cool game.
And up until Denver beat New England in the AFC title game, strangely enough, and I know he missed some games at the end of the year, the only home passing touchdown Peyton Manning had all season was to Owen Daniels back left of the end zone. And Audie Cole was in the game for some reason, I think because they had goal line personnel in. And I remember Audie Cole being around that play and Owen Daniels catching it back left of the end zone. I'm watching the AFC title game and I hear the announcer say Peyton Manning has one home touchdown pass all year, and they showed it and it was against us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. An unbelievable stat considering it's Peyton Manning, obviously, who holds a bunch of records. So the Vikings drop that game. They go to 2-2, and then they have a bye, which sounds like an early bye, week five bye, but it really was after nine games. If you consider we had five preseason games, four regular season games, you get a bye. You can debate on when is a good time to have a bye and when is it not a good time to have a bye. Must have been a good time for the Vikings because they went on a huge winning streak coming out of the bye, and it started with a rugged game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs have lost four consecutive games, taking on a 2-2 Vikings team, victorious five consecutive times at TCF Bank Stadium. Third down, Bridgewater back to pass, fires left, caught Jarius Wright at the 35, 30 to the 20, inside the 15, and he's tripped up inside the 10. Bridgewater, Jarius Wright, 53, first and goal. Bridgewater shotgun, third and goal from the 4. Teddy fires over the middle, caught, touchdown, Vikings! Kyle Rudolph's second touchdown this year gives the Vikings a 9-0 lead. Smith on third down, out of the shotgun, takes the snap. Here comes Danielle Hunter. He's all over Alex Smith, who's sacked! Sharif Floyd finishes off what the rookie Danielle Hunter started. And Smith has been battered two times today. Colquitt into punt.
This is a play right here where the Vikings defense can set a tone and create an identity right here.
Fourth and short from the 6. Handoff West. Hey, did it get it? He was stopped beautifully by Sharif Floyd. On fourth and short from the 6, the Vikings defense is dominating Kansas City today. First and 10. Handoff to Kendrick West. He dropped it. Recovered by the Vikings. Kendrick West dropped the ball, and it was recovered by Brian Robinson. Rookie Danielle Hunter, that by far is the biggest play of the young man's career, and the Vikings will have defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in very, very dramatic fashion.
We squeak out a 16-10 victory. Jamaal Charles did not play in the game. Charkandrick West lost a fumble late in that game, if you remember. And I said Stephon Diggs kind of emerged against the Broncos, but he starred against the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 7 catches for 129 yards in that game against the Chiefs. It was at home. It was right off the bye. It started our winning streak. What do you remember?
A couple of things from that game. The Brian Robinson either forced fumble or fumble recovery at the end of the game. Sadly, that was our... We took the ball there, but then we went on a string of games where we were not taking the ball after the Chiefs game. Secondly, that was the first week the Chiefs had to deal with not having Jamaal Charles.
Yeah.
So therefore, you caught them at a very good time. And thirdly, you know, I had heard during the course of the week how well Kansas City executes the screen offensively. And in chatting with some defensive coaches here, you know, without mentioning names, there were coaches who were taking a lot of pride in the fact that, well, they may screen well, but nobody screens against us. And Terrence Newman, Captain Munnerlin, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith, guys like that, they're very good against the screen. And in watching Kansas City that game with DeAnthony Thomas and Travis Kelce try to execute the screen game and watching the Vikings defense blow it up play after play after play, it was very prideful.
Yeah, you take a look at Travis Kelce, who, you know, was killing teams all season. He had 5 catches for 88 yards, didn't really change the game. Macklin, 3 catches for 48 yards, didn't really change the game. So Vikings defense did a good job. They win that game, and then they go and play the Detroit Lions the following week.
Here comes Blair Walsh, and boom! Minnesota madness in the Motown is in the air. Extra offensive lineman Cornelius Lucas to the right of the right tackle. And Stafford is sacked! He was sacked by Chad Greenway for a big loss. And Matthew goes play action, and he's sacked! Matthew Stafford was crushed from behind by Everson Griffin. Here comes Harrison Smith on a safety blitz, and Stafford was sacked. Who goes play action? Brian Robinson's on him, and Eric Kendricks sacks him. Robinson and Kendricks converged on Matthew Stafford, and Stafford goes back to pass, and he hoists the white flag and is destroyed. 5th sack today of Matthew Stafford, who has no chance. Stafford's under center, 1st and 10 from his own 32. Here's the rush, and there goes Matthew Stafford, sacked by Eric Kendricks, and the Vikings blitz Captain Munnerlin, and Stafford just has to hoist the white flag and go down via a sack. Sack for a 7th time today. Seriously, I think they'll probably give it to Tom Johnson. Yeah, hand off Adrian. Room around the right side to the 25 to the 30. He's to the 40 to the 50. No flags on the play. Glover Quinn runs him down at the 20, but Adrian won't let him bring him down inside the 10 to the 5. Adrian to the 3-yard line. 75-yard run by Adrian Peterson. Teddy play action. Back to pass. Fires right. Caught. Kyle Rudolph. Touchdown. I think it was one-handed, left-handed, by Kyle Rudolph, his 3rd receiving touchdown this year. Teddy goes back to pass. He fires deep. Diggs open. Caught.
What a catch.
He left his feet for a touchdown.
What a catch.
Stephon Diggs' 1st National Football League touchdown was absolutely spectacular. A 36-yard floater from Bridgewater, and the Vikings have taken the lead.
Oh, my heavens. What if there was any question left on the abilities of one Stephon Diggs, that there answers everything. Wide open, beautiful move. Teddy leads him just a little too far. Diggs forced to leave his feet, Paul, and bring that thing in. No question that ball did not hit the ground.
Snap spot, and the kick is good. A high five for Blair Walsh. He's 5 of 5 today.
Complete a season sweep of the Detroit Lions. In a weird scheduling quirk, you play the Lions twice before you play any other division opponent. That was kind of weird. But the Vikings complete the sweep the 24th time they've swept the Lions in series history. Teddy Bridgewater, 316 yards in that game. Lots of things to talk about in this game. If you remember, we were down early in that game, and then we came back.
Yeah, the Lions looked really good early in that game. I think we might have been down 10-0, something like that. I love going to Ford Field. I love the whole Detroit vibe. I love what we as a family do the night before the game. I love Ford Field from a vantage standpoint and calling the games. And Teddy Bridgewater played so well in that game, in so many patches of the game, that I left the game really excited for U.S. Bank Stadium. Because we had seen Bridgewater in his rookie year in indoor situations, and I liked it. And now, here we are indoors at Ford Field, and he's going for more than 300 yards again. So then I started to cast my gaze the way of 2016 in the new stadium, and I'm like, wow, this guy's going to be really, really good indoors. It was a gritty Vikings win, and it was a win that further branded the identity of the team in that if it has to pass, it can pass, and it can come from behind. And given we had gone through some years of inadequacy, in certain situations, if we got down multiple scores, the game basically was over because the defense was not good enough to stop the adversary. That was not the case that day.
Okay, going on to the next game.
And the Minnesota Vikings get the ball first to kick off the 7th game of the season. Welcome to Soldier Field. Marcus Sherrills from his own 35 heads to the right side. Turns the corner near side to the 40 to the 50. And Sherrills has one guy to beat. 25-20. Gets a block from Hunter. Touchdown! Sherrills with a 65-yard punt return touchdown, the third of his career, has rallied the Vikings to the lead at Soldier Field. On third down, takes the snap. Teddy looks left, fires, caught! Stephon Diggs, and he spins to the 30, 20, 15, 10, and touchdown! Stephon Diggs! Way to steal the show, Stephon! It's a 40-yard touchdown, and the Vikings are an extra point from tying the game. Teddy on a deep drop. Purnell McPhee is doubled. Teddy fires for Charles Johnson, right side. No! Charles goes up and gets it, and he came down with it at the 27. Charles Johnson's only reception today was a big one. It's a 34-yard cold-blooded connection from 36 yards left hash to win the game. Snap, good, spot down, Walsh's kick is up, and it is good! Goodbye, Chicago! The Vikings win!
This was one of my favorite regular season victories that I can remember since I've been working for the team. It was at Soldier Field. Vikings win 23-20. A lot of things to talk about from this game, but really to me, it's you end the drought at Soldier Field. You win for the first time there since 2007. You had great moments early in the game with Sherrills on the punt return, great yeah. moments late in the game with a comeback, and I know you love calling games at Soldier Field too.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal day. The weather was beautiful. The fan base was rabid, even though the team, the Bears, weren't doing too well. The alley-oop pass to Charles Johnson, his only catch that day in front of the Bears bench, that was unbelievable. A Stephon Diggs run after catch to put the team in a position to tie the game, that was incredibly memorable. But, you know, the Blair Walsh walked off a winner for, at that time, the fourth time of his career. And, you know, I think that finally was a time where Blair had won back the fan base after going 5 of 11 in the preseason. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're going to talk extensively about Blair later when we get to the playoff game. But Blair has a unique quality of winning back situations when it looks like he may be in a little bit of trouble. I mean, I think he was like a 65% kicker at Georgia. Didn't look like he'd get drafted. Then he did. He set records as a rookie, and he went to the Pro Bowl. And then he was 5 of 11 in the preseason this year. Fan base was all over him. Walks off a winner at Soldier Field. Does the same thing in a game coming up. And Blair was cold-blooded to win that game in walk-off fashion.
Do you think there's anything to... We have this young team... And granted, we have Adrian Peterson, who's been around for a while, and he knows our troubles at Soldier Field. Chad Greenway knows our troubles. John Sullivan knows. But, you know, we have a lot of young players, too. Isn't it good for them early in their careers, even for some of them in their first season, if you look at, like, Stephon Diggs and yeah. Eric Kendricks and TJ Clemmings, to win at Soldier Field? And so they can be like, yeah, you know, we won at Soldier Field. What's the big deal?
Completely. Well, I completely agree. And, in fact, one of the things that made 2015 my most favorite season of ever working with this team is the younger guys saw everything. They saw blowout victories. They were blown out. They won close games on the road. They won close games at home, and they got a playoff experience.
Yeah.
So the exuberance that was displayed after that game, it just breeds and reeks of positivity that continues to build what is something that is on the fast track to winning at a very high level and in the very near future.
All right, we move on to the next game, the halfway point in the season, a home game against the Rams.
The 4-3 St. Louis Rams take the field first against a Vikings defense giving up 17.5 points per game, second best in the NFL. First and 10, handoff Todd Gurley, tries the right side, sees nothing, and he's run down by Harrison Smith, but Gurley eludes it, and he's running the wrong way. It's a loss of 6 yards by the overzealous rookie. Brought down by Linval Joseph, 2nd and 16, Linval. On first and goal, handoff Adrian to the right side, following a pulling Mike Harris, runs into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Vikings! Takes the snap, back to pass, steps up, runs up the middle, into the end zone, touchdown, Teddy! And he went in untouched, he's running to the 5, Teddy to the end zone, for the 2, Teddy for 2! Play action by Foles, hey! 40-yard drive left hash to make the Rams 4-4 and kick the Vikings to 6-2 and an undefeated record at home. Snap, spot, right-footed Walsh, kick is up, and it is good! The Vikings have walked off winners and have won four consecutive games. They're undefeated at home, and at the season's midway point, your Minnesota Vikings are 6-2.
Now, this one is chock full of things to talk about because, you know, Teddy was knocked from the game and there was controversy surrounding that. But this was an overtime victory where, you know, where Coach Zimmer takes the win to start overtime. Blair Walsh wins the game for you in overtime. And everyone, as you so often phrase it, everyone came in talking about Todd Gurley, but they came out of the game talking about Adrian Peterson.
Well, and that also had been a week, Wobby, where you and I in the Vikings Entertainment Network had watched so much imposing film of Aaron Donald that I literally came into the game. I mean, I remember you were showing me plays of things he was doing against the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, where I was like, oh my heavens, how are we possibly going to stop this creature without double teaming him every single play? And Donald, I'm sure he, you know, from a minutia standpoint, probably had a patentedly good Aaron Donald game. But as you would say, he didn't wreck the game. Mm-hmm. And it's a tightly contested game where the wind blowing in from the west was a major, major factor. So now we get to overtime and the head coach defers the opportunity to take the ball, which nobody ever does. Mm-hmm. And the Rams go 3-and-out. We get great field position. I think there was a sneaky good Marcus Sherrill's return there. And their punter, Johnny Hecker, by the way, may be the best in the NFL. So he can handle anything that's in front of him. And then again, you know, back to Blair Walsh. For those he had lost in the preseason with the 5 of 11, he won most of them back at Soldier Field. He won everybody back here. Mm-hmm. And it was just such an exciting victory on such a weird day.
An awesome call by Mike Zimmer to take the win in that overtime.
And brilliant.
I want to get more of your thoughts on that, but let me guide you there with this.
And Todd Gurley, too, man. I mean, we heard everything about Todd Gurley all week.
Well, that plays into my stat. There were 39 points scored in that game. The Vikings won 21-18, so 39 points scored in that game. Every score but one went to the east end of the field. Yes. You had a 1 yard touchdown run by Todd Gurley. That was the only score going toward the wind, which was set up, if I remember, by a penalty of some kind.
Might have been.
I believe. And, you know, we joke all the time about Belichick and how he does weird things that end up working out. I mean, this was, you know, this was one of those types of moments where your head coach makes a decision that might cause you to scratch your head, but I mean, that turned out to be a great call. And don't you think he was pressing all the right buttons like that all season long?
Well, yeah, and it was a very emotional day, too. I think the cornerback's name is DeMarcus Joyner, the guy who hit Teddy.
LaMarcus Joyner.
Yeah, LaMarcus Joyner. And it was a blatant cheap shot. It was freaking ridiculous that he did what he did. I know he apologized after the game, but into the game, you know, you think about during the course of the week, their defensive coordinator, Greg Williams, and the aura that surrounds him and what we went through with Bountygate in 2009. So you want to beat him. And then now you're seeing Chippy play like this and everybody is on edge because of the way they're playing. Yet you're watching the game and you're like, we know we're better than the St. Louis Rams. Aaron Donald, James Laurinaitis, Todd Gurley. It doesn't matter who you throw out there. The Vikings should win the game. And they did.
All right, that's it for the first half of the season. The season is long, so recapping the season is going to be long. We're going to break this up into two parts. That's part one, the first half of the Vikings season. It ends with a victory over the St. Louis Rams. We're going to get into the Oakland Raiders, who are up next, and the second half of the season, where there was a ton of fireworks, a ton of drama, a ton of wins, and tons of fun. That's going to be in the next edition of the Wobcast, part two of the 2015 season recap editions of the Wobcast. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn and voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We'll talk to you in part two. So, yeah!